Good morning, everybody. Before I introduce our guest today, I want to announce that the Vet Center, that's Veterans Center at 2525 East Broadway, will be holding an open house to celebrate their 40th anniversary on the 12th of June. So if you've got questions or you have needs, this is the place to go to. And if you can't wait till that time, go there anytime. They're there to help you, and they're an amazing group of people. Okay, in the studio, we have a herd of dogs, and we have John, Elsa, and Dominic from the Pima County Corrections Department. And the dogs' names again?
We have Luke and Leah with us today.
Okay. And they're brother and sister.
Correct.
And they're behaving like brother and sister right now.
Of course, they fight over toys like crazy.
They're beautiful dogs. Before we start talking about the dogs, I want to go around the room and find out a little bit about each of you. How long have you been with the Corrections Department, John?
I've been with the Corrections Department about 14 years. I've worked in pretty much all the different areas in the Corrections Department. This program I've been with for about a year and a half, and we've been doing great with this program so far.
Elsa?
I've been with the Sheriff's Department 14 years. Actually, John and I are classmates from the academy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Dominic?
I've approximately been 12 years, and like John, I worked all facilities in the jail. Been with this department, or this section, for a year and a half.
How did you come to have puppies at the jail?
Well, actually, the program started with Leo. He's our primary dog that we got for the mental health unit. The deputies would bring him into the jail to do some training with him and see how he would acclimate to large crowds and things of that nature. And during that, we realized that our inmates were really responding to the puppy.
Yeah.
So what our chief did at the time is we did a survey. Before they had the dogs, how are you feeling? Oh, you know, I'm sad, I'm tired, you know, I don't want to do anything. After they had some exposure to the dog, we did another survey, and they were like, this is awesome, I'm so happy, I'm excited to get up in the morning when I know that the dog's going to be here. And when we
So you're surveying inmates?
Absolutely.
Okay.
When we took the dog away after he was done with his training, they were like, hey, we want this dog back, when can the dog come back and visit?
Yeah.
So we felt that the change in their behavior and the change in their attitude was something that we wanted to see more of. We wanted to reduce the amount of suicides in the jail. We want to also reduce the amount of staff assaults. And having the puppies there to, you know, spend some time with them and relieve some of that anxiety of being in a jail environment has helped significantly.
Very cool. When you talk about bringing down the suicide rate, can you give me numbers? Because you don't really hear about suicides at the jail every once in a while.
And they are very rare.
Okay.
I don't have specific numbers on the amount of suicides that we have had. However, since the program has started, these dogs have only been certified no more than 6 months.
Okay.
Okay. The first year is all training, and they're not allowed to certify during that time. So we're just now starting to gather the data so that we can track the change from the time we've implemented the program to from before.
So you're really in the forefront of what's going on with having dogs in a prison setting in the nation.
We are. This is the first program that has officers who are assigned the dogs and who bring them into the facility. I know there are other smaller programs that will bring rescue dogs for an hour or two. These dogs belong in the jail, and they spend about 8 hours every single day in our jail, except for a couple days off, which are the days off of the handlers. But for the most part, these guys are there all day, every day. If there are incidents, they usually go and respond to the officers just to, you know, relieve some of the anxiety for the day. We get phone calls from staff members who say, hey, can you bring the dog up to visit me for a little bit? The only reason I came to work today was because I knew I was going to see the dog.
Oh, that's cute.
We actually have had people say that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right, though, if you would let me sure. Say a little something. This is the first of its kind program, and it's involved with what we were doing with the deputies, like Elsa said. But this program is called CPASS, which is Corrections Pet Assisted Distress Therapy. And basically, as Elsa said, we are trying to get into the housing units and inside the jail, bring the stress down there, and bring a little lighter step in the day to the corrections officers and the people in the community that are involved with this program.
So it's really helping everybody.
Absolutely. Everybody, and actually, what's funny is the program was intended for the inmates, and the unintended consequence was the staff have benefited just as much, if not more.
The ripple effect.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Dominic, what's your experience with the puppies?
Like they said, I think it's great for all around staff, inmates, our medical staff, our kitchen staff love them. They bring them treats, they bring them costumes, they bring them, they kind of bring the Corrections Bureau a lot closer. There's people I didn't know for years just kind of passed by during shift change. And now, since I have the dog, they're like, hey, Nat, can I see the dog? Or hey, can we have a card to give to our kids? And so, like I said, it's brought us closer as a family, as a correction bureau, 10 times more than I've seen in the last 12 years.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's very cool. Okay, I want to know, how do you get to get a dog? I mean, why are you three and not three others? What happened? Why did you get picked?
Well, I'm the lieutenant over the program. So
you get a dog automatically.
Well, I technically get these two when they need a babysitter.
So
when we started the program, we went through a big hiring process for this. So we wanted to pick some staff members who wanted to participate and knew what our goals were with the program. And I don't think anybody really believed that this was really happening, because we got maybe 12 applications of our staff, because they were like, this isn't happening. This isn't real. It can't be real.
Yeah, you're punking me.
Exactly. So we got the 12 applications and we went through it and we did some home inspections and making sure that these people were the right fit for the program. And these are the two that I ended up with.
I ended up with.
Thanks, Elsa.
Cancellation prize.
No, they are great. They actually care so much about this program. I'm very lucky to have them on the team with us.
Very cool. Now, when you interviewed them, you did a home inspection. Did you interview the family as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the deciding factor. You know, some of these people, like when I went to Dominic's house, he has another dog at home and he has a girlfriend and now they have a baby, and that's a family environment. And that's really what we wanted for these dogs, is we want them to be exposed to children who are going to pull on their ears, pull on their tails, try and ride them.
Use them for a step stool.
Exactly. So what better environment than that? And honestly, I tell Dominic, he treats this dog better than he treats anybody. He babies her like crazy.
Yeah.
I like she said, I kind of call her my daughter. She likes ice in her water. She likes to be hand-fed treats, and everyone laughs at me. But just for this program, I would pretty much do anything for this dog and the program. It's unique. It's one of its kind, and I'm very honored to be a part of it and see the growth in this whole program, because it's
this,
the sky's the limit,
edge.
I say 100%. Sky's the limit, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, they've both become part of our family, Luke and Leia, and the family extends to the jail. And at home, the dogs come home with us, and my kids use Luke as a pillow when they're watching TV. And like Elsa said, they pull on his ears and tug his tail and play with them and make loud noises. And he loves every minute of it.
That's good. Where did you get these dogs?
There's a place called Chiricahua Retrievers in Wilcox, and they have Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers. And there were one of the reasons we picked this breed is because it's an English lab, and English labs are a little more docile than American labs. There's two different types of Labradors. The English lab is a lot more family-oriented, proper. They're a little lazier. The American lab's a lot more wild, and they run around, and they're the ones that knock your knees with their tails. The English labs, we have a trainer named Jeremy Brown that owns the complete canine, and he basically suggested this breeder and these dogs because he knows that the breeder is a sound breeder, and he knows that the breed of dog is a sound breed of dog, that you're not going to have risks of biting or aggression with. And we have had amazing luck with Luke and Leia. They've been the sweetest dogs I've ever had. They don't display any aggression.
Do you have other dogs sweet. At home?
I do. I have a Chiweenie, so a Chihuahua wiener dog, and my daughter.
Her name's Ladybug.
Yeah, my daughter named her Ladybug. So she actually runs the house, though. Luke doesn't. Luke is not the boss at home, so Ladybug runs the house, and she's about 12 pounds.
Oh wow! Okay, that's typically how it works. So, actually, they're kind of laying down now. They've been playing, but they're laying down now, and they're just so laid back. They're not nervous. They've been on the radio before, obviously.
Actually, they've been on TV, not the radio.
Oh, TV?
Yes.
Oh, they're old hat. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the breed and the training and all that happy stuff.
Okay.
Stay with us.
If you think making false threats is a joke, think again. Any communication threatening students, teachers, and staff at schools or public places is a federal crime that could lock people behind prison doors for up to 5 years.
I'm FBI Deputy Director David Bowditch, making you aware that hoax threats have real consequences. We don't want to see a young person begin their adult lives with a felony record.
Making false threats is not a joke. Think before you post. Visit FBI.gov.
You don't need to own a gun to make sure your children are trained and know what to do if they come across one. For the past 20 years, the folks at Diamondback have taught firearm safety and concealed weapon permit classes. Hi, I'm Ben Anderson, Director of Training at Diamondback Shooting Sports. Sign up for a class today at dbacktraining.com so you can be prepared for the unexpected. We're open 7 days a week, so stop in and introduce yourself. We're located in the Gaslight Plaza at the southwest corner of Broadway and Kolb on Tucson's east side.
Hi, it's me, Sherry. At Geneva Financial, we offer an array of loan products from commercial, construction, investor, all-in-one, a HEROES program for first responders as well as teachers, and of course, reverse mortgages. If you're shopping for a loan or know somebody who is, give me a call at 310-9900. We offer loans for humans by humans. So let's see what I can do for you. That's 310-9900. Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you.
When you see a bicyclist, remember, cyclists are friends, neighbors, and family members. From the Tucson Police Department, here is Chief Chris Magnus with a life-saving message for all motorists.
Every year in and around Tucson, bicyclists are hit, injured, or killed. Arizona law requires that you must give at least 3 feet of clearance when you pass a cyclist. Safety is everyone's responsibility. A moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret. Give cyclists at least 3 feet when passing. It's the law. Brought to you by Look, Save a Life.
Thanks for staying with us. I want to talk a little bit about training. Oh, that's my phone. I can't answer the phone right now. I'm on the air. Okay. I want to talk about training. When you get these puppies, are they already trained with like the basic commands, sit, stay, eat, poop, whatever?
Not at all. We got these puppies at 3 months old. So...
They were trained
in cuteness. That's about it.
They are cute. So if you have to train your dogs, do you go through a training to train the dog?
It's an on-the-job training. And I'd mentioned Jeremy Brown and the Complete Canine before. And he's been an invaluable asset to us. He's a local dog trainer, and he's been really amazing. He trains therapy dogs, and his company trains service dogs. And basically, Dominic and I and Lieutenant Navarro Elsa, have been going through an on-the-job training with Jeremy Brown to learn what we need to do, how to handle the dogs, how to make sure that they stay taken care of and they're safe in the scenes that they're deployed to. And that they're comfortable and happy. I don't know if you can hear them right now. They're wrestling. So it's been about a year and a half of continuous ongoing training. And we learn basic commands in the beginning and move through obedience training, move on to therapy training. And then currently we're doing some trick training.
Okay. What's the difference between basic commands and therapy training?
The basic commands, obviously, there's a lot of the things that you teach your dog at home, sit, stay, heel, loose leash, walking, things that are important to make sure that when you're out with other dogs, that you have a dog that is obedient, that's going to listen to you and do what you're asking when you're there. The therapy training, however, is going to be a lot of things that we're adjusting the dogs to different situations and making sure that they're okay under stressful situations. We're going to make sure that they have no aggressive tendencies. And this is one of the harder things with the dogs, was the therapy training, because while you're going through it, you don't understand that, if you look at it from the outside, oh, there's a dog trainer. You don't understand that dogs are dogs and they do what dogs do. And as a therapy handler or trainer, we're trying to train a lot of those things out of dogs. So we don't want them to bark at other dogs. We don't want them to bark at people. We're trying to train them to be a calming, have a calming effect on people when we go into a room. We
want it to,
right. We want it to de-stress. We don't want it to bother the people that they're trying to help.
So a lot of that too, like what he was saying, is we work with wheelchairs, walkers, loud noise and banging, stuff like that other dogs don't really see. It's not like a typical house dog. So we had to train, like I said, with walkers and be around it and see a wheelchair floating at them. It was kind of scary. So in our therapy classes, we see all realms of therapy world and hospital world and jail world to get them trained and certified to that.
Okay, so this is something that you're learning, and as you learn, you teach the dog.
Right, and then we also have another element, which is the jail, which is, for a dog, I would imagine it's pretty stressful, but these dogs have been in the jail working with us since they were 3 months old. So they get to hear loud noises. They get to see people running down halls. They get to see a lot of stressful things. And in the time that they've been working with us at the jail, that's helped us to get them to be very calm and non-responsive to events.
Are you supposed to be running down a hall in a jail?
If there's an event, if there's an emergency, you have to run.
Oh, you mean you're running?
Right.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the inmates.
No. Okay. No, if there's an event, we'd have to respond and we'd have to run. It's just like any emergency situation. You run and respond to that event as quickly as possible. And these dogs have been doing it. They've been watching it. As a matter of fact, every time somebody runs by, Luke wants to run with them. So he tries to pull me along.
Let's go. That's funny. Okay. Do you pick and choose who the dog can visit in the jail, or are they allowed to visit everybody in the jail? Because I know you have a customer there that I'm not real fond of.
We've got a lot of different criteria set out for the deployment of the dogs. First of all, the scene safety is very important to us. We make sure that when I go into a housing unit, I'll first ask the housing officer. I'll say, is this unit, are you okay with me coming into your unit? Do you have any problems that I need to know about? Are you okay with this right now? Because I'm going to come in and walk around. Secondly, we're not going to take the dogs into a unit where there's a risk of danger to the dogs. So people with cruelty to animal charges, we would look at before we took them in there.
Talking to the microphone.
Sorry about that. people that were a danger to others and danger to staff, we would keep the dogs away from. But generally what we do is we take them into the general population areas. So anybody that's not been causing problems is pretty much going to have access to the dogs, as long as the scene is safe.
And they respond in a positive way when the puppies are there.
I have not had any negative response to the dogs. The people that get to see the dogs, this is an absolute treat for them.
They know that if they misbehave or do anything to the dog, that will ruin their opportunity to ever have contact with it again. These guys are so excited to spend even if it's 5 minutes with this dog. I think Dominic had an experience where a guy told him, you want to tell him about the...
Which one? There's so many.
He hadn't seen a dog in like 10 years.
Oh, that was actually John's...
Yeah, I had a gentleman ask me if he could pet the dog and told me that he hadn't pet a dog, and it was actually 14 years. He'd been in prison and back to jail for 14 years, and he actually teared up a little bit looking at Luke, and it was unfortunate for him because he was a bad, bad guy, and it was in a hallway, and he was on a status, so he couldn't pet the dog. But we've had many more things like that happen. We had a guy the other day tell me he hadn't been able to pet the dog for a dog for 4 years, and he sat down and pet Luke for 10 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome. And they're doing their job. I'm so much calmer now that the dogs are here. I'm being smart.
No, okay. They're really good. We've actually had, I think it was Luke ran up to one of our staff members and just out of nowhere and kind of curled up against him and let him pet him for a little bit. And he walked over and he says, "Do you think that he knows that I had put my dog down last night?"
I forgot about that one.
Probably.
Yeah. So
probably.
We kind of feel like they have a sixth sense where they know that somebody's stressed or that, you know, something, they need a little bit of love from the dog. So we try and make those opportunities happen as much as possible.
Animals are amazing. They know things that we don't know. And I used to live in California and I would watch my cat. My cat would act a certain way when there was going to be an earthquake. I said, "Oh, going to be an earthquake." Wow. Sure enough. So tell me the difference between the training for a crisis canine as opposed to a comfort dog. Is there a difference?
I don't think there is.
Not really?
No, we're using these for the same thing. So
I think it's just the name, honestly. They're the
for
same
the situation
thing, same
at
purpose.
The time.
Absolutely. Because a lot of the events that some of these therapy dogs do respond to are crisis situations. We've had to respond to hospitals and spend some time with children, or when a law enforcement officer has passed, we've gone to visit their family. So those are times when those families are in crisis, and the therapy dogs help out. So I think it's more the situation than the actual name of the type of program.
Didn't Barbara LaWall deploy some dogs to Nevada when they had that mass shooting up there?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And it was well received.
Absolutely. This is a revolutionary program. And I know that we got a lot of people who were like, "Oh, this is stupid. Who wants a cuddle dog?" You know, law enforcement has bite dogs. So
bite dogs.
It's very, very well received now. At first, it was a challenge. But once we got the buy-in from our staff and from people around the community, they were like, "This is awesome. Yeah. Best thing you guys could do."
It's an amazing program. And I know they use them in the courthouse when little ones have to testify. They have a crisis dog or a therapy dog, comfort dog.
To point on that, two things. Crisis, I think the biggest thing in our jail when we have suicides or hanging their stuff with the officers, they come down to our office, write their report with us. Excuse me, Luke. Writing the reports with the dogs in the room. And we'll leave, go get a soda, go get them water, whatever, come back, and they'll be literally on the floor of our office playing with a dog or throwing the ball. And they're like, "My mindset is totally different now just because the dog's around. I'm not thinking about the crisis that I just seen in my pod or I just ran to or anything like that." So the dog's crisis in the jail is huge. And then I'm talking about the courtroom. Can I say the names?
Don't say names, just situation.
Okay, well, Leia's, we've been to a lot of, help me out, Elsa.
it's a high-profile case.
Yeah,
okay. Actually, the family members of the Isabel Solis and the Maribel Gonzalez case, we responded to help them during the serving of the charges on the arrestee.
Perpetrator.
The arrestee. So yeah. Dominic was fortunate to be one of the guys that responded that day. And he's been spending a lot of time with the family when they go to court. And every time that they've gone, they ask for him. They're like, "Hey, can you and Leia please
be there?"
It's not
me. It's Leia, 100%. But like she said, Leia just does amazing in the court. She's a little spunkier and she's a little more wild. But in the courtroom, she will sit there for 3-4 hours. And I'm like, "When is she going to do something silly?" But no, she knows that it's work time. And
start chewing on the furniture.
She'll be at the feet of whoever she needs to be, comforting them and doing her job. So she knows that in that situation, this is her job, and she's doing amazing at it. So,
and isn't that amazing? I've watched the canine guys, and I've seen canine at home with the officers, and they're completely different dogs. As soon as they, you know, put the uniform on and get in the car, they're on duty. And it sounds like these dogs are doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
100%. When I go home and take Leia off the leash, she does at least 20 laps in my backyard, tears my backyard apart. But our trainer says, let her be a dog. When her leash is off, let her play with the ball, let her get into stuff, let her unwind from work. So when she's at work, she knows the difference. And I definitely know at work that she's a work dog, and at home, she's a crazy dog.
So. She's a crazy dog.
Yes.
She's our wild child.
Yeah, Luke just takes naps at home. He enjoys a nap.
Sounds like you lucked out.
I did.
Yeah, they're beautiful dogs, and they're sitting here breathing heavy. And I want to know, where do you think this program's going to go? But where do you see this in 5 years?
Well, we've already started the expansion of the program.
Okay.
We started with Leo. Now we got Luke and Leia, and we recently added two more for the schools. We have Nova and Echo. So this program isn't going anywhere. We've gotten requests from several different agencies throughout the country requesting assistance on starting up their own program or getting one of us to come out and tell them how we did this. And we're trying to help out as much as we can and give them as much information as possible because we want other people to do the exact same thing. And we notice on Facebook when another agency gets a comfort dog. So we get just as excited about other people's success with this type of program as we do with our own.
Now, your dogs aren't trained for like narcotics or bomb sniffing or anything like that. They're
no,
just
not at all.
Comfort dogs.
Correct.
Hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses.
One of the things that we haven't really touched on is we're using all of the dogs as a community resource. And one of our regional behavioral health and providers has helped us with the funding for some of these dogs as well. And that's why this program is, that's one of the reasons the program is expanding. We have all five of these dogs and they're basically a community resource. So they're
five dogs.
Yeah, we have Luke, Leia, Leo, who works for the mental health unit at the Sheriff's Department, and okay. He responds to scenes where there's mental health activity. And like Elsa was saying, we have Echo and Nova because you had asked about the future of the program, and they're working with the school resource officers. And the reason that we did that is they were doing a study on the calls that were coming in from mental health, and 40% of those calls were coming in from people that were under 17.
Wow.
So Arizona Complete Health, being the regional behavioral health organization, decided that was the next place that they wanted to help fund. So that seemed like a natural progression for the program.
I think that's awesome, especially in the school situation.
Absolutely.
There's so much going on. I think it would be a total asset to have a puppy that could comfort everybody.
If you could see people's faces when they see these dogs, you can just tell it's changing lives.
Yeah.
We it's walked amazing. Into Starbucks and they're like, are those Luke and Leia? They get so excited because most of these people follow them on Instagram or they've seen the Facebook posts on our Sheriff's Department page. So these guys are very, very popular. They got their names from a contest that we did. We wanted the community to name the dogs.
Get involved.
So, yeah. So we did a big contest and we got a lot of suggestions. And the biggest one we got was Luke and Leia. So Star Wars dogs.
Awesome. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few.
Established in 1865, the Pima County Sheriff's Department is one of the largest agencies in the nation that ensures the safety and trust with integrity and respect. With decades of change and development, we have grown by instituting progressive plans of preparedness to work as a vigilant team serving and protecting. With careful selection, every department member is prepared today to protect for tomorrow, serving with principle, professionalism, and purpose. To learn more about wearing the badge for your community, visit PimaSheriff.org and follow our social media for up-to-date events and information. Join us in our commitment to this community and vow to never become complacent.
911, what are you reporting?
I'd like to report a break-in into my car. I came out this morning and my laptop bag is gone and some of my books are gone.
Are any of the windows broken or anything like that?
Nothing's broken.
Did you leave your vehicle unlocked or did you lock it before you went inside?
I thought I locked it, but I don't think I did.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get an officer out to you as soon as I can.
This doesn't have to be you. Remember to lock it or lose it. This has been a message from the Marana Police Department.
Hi, it's me, Sherry. At Geneva Financial, we offer an array of loan products from commercial, construction, investor, all-in-one, a HEROES program for first responders as well as teachers, and of course, reverse mortgages. If you're shopping for a loan or know somebody who is, give me a call at 310-9900. We offer loans for humans by humans. So let's see what I can do for you. That's 310-9900. Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you.
You can join the Live Law Matters radio show every Saturday at 8 a.m. by calling in at 790-2040. We want to hear from you. For a schedule of future guests, go to lawmatters1030.org. And remember, your financial support will help continue the Law Matters mission so we can continue to support you. Tune in to Law Matters Saturdays at 8 a.m., streaming live at kvoi.com on whatever device you listen to, AM 1030, The Voice.
Thanks for staying with us. We have puppies in the house. If anybody has a question for our handlers, the number is 790-2040. And I want to know, are these the same kind of comfort dogs or dogs that the military uses? Do you know?
I'm not sure what breed they use.
Because I know the FBI has a comfort dog, and it's a Irish setter, gorgeous dog, Paisley.
I actually was at Davis Monthan yesterday doing an event with kids, and a lot of different branches of the military were there, and they were talking about the kind of same programs they have, but like in-house, and they use different dogs, just kind of like pound dogs or impact dogs, but they were, they love the program. Like they were saying at their base, they say it's the most famous dog in the world. When they see it, it can't get enough love or throwing the ball or, hey, come to our unit, or they'll make a little scene so they can get the dog there just to play and
make
take pictures. Yeah, they said it's the best thing instead
I'm
of working.
In crisis.
Yeah, for sure. But it's different breeds, of course, so it's not just that breed.
Yeah, no, I've seen on TV where they'll go to the pound and they look for certain characteristics in a dog. It's not necessarily the breed of the dog, it's the attitude of the dog.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to make sure that the dog is going to be safe around people and kids especially. So we want a dog that's going to be calm and mellow, like these two. Leia, not so much sometimes.
I was going to say, for about 5 seconds, she's taking a break, and then it's going to be up again.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think with that, though, our trainer, Jeremy Brown, he wanted, when we went to pick the dogs, he wanted more of a lazier one and then more of a spunky one to kind of hit both.
Yin-yang.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of both categories of people that, hey, let's react with Leia, that more active, or, hey, let's just lay here and get petted and take
smart.
You pictures with Luke. So I think that's why he did that.
Did you get to go down there and pick the dogs with him?
We didn't get to pick them, but we got to go pick them up when they were ready. They were very young when, so we got to pick them up at 3 months, and that was a great day. It was one of my favorite days at work ever, actually.
I think we were still in the hiring process for this when they were getting picked.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was kind of early on in our career with this department, so we weren't there yet. We weren't the handlers yet.
Speaking of hiring...
Yes, we currently have a lateral deputy process going on.
And that means?
That means that we are hiring already certified law enforcement officers who want to transition from a different agency to our agency.
So you're out to steal somebody else's law enforcement officers.
So to speak, yes.
So if you're interested.
Yes, you can go to gopcsd.org. Also, the CO process will be opening next Friday. So you can go to the website and look at the details on the process and what the job description is and what you have to do to get hired.
Yeah, and a lot of times people transfer in, move into Tucson, and they come from law enforcement background. This is a great opportunity to...
It is a great opportunity. They don't have to go through the entire academy of training. It's a little shorter.
Yeah,
and
you just make them do push-ups and run a mile and a half, right?
Sure, why not? No, I think it's a little bit less of the physical fitness. They do some of the defensive tactics. Just getting acclimated to our policy and procedures is probably the biggest thing.
And that's not, typically, it's not that different from agency to agency.
No, not much.
Yeah. Okay, so anybody out there is looking for a job, here's your opportunity. And maybe you too can be a puppy handler.
It could happen.
The funny thing about that, I think, that I want to touch on is being in the public, a lot of people see these dogs and think they're bite dogs or drug dogs. And then when we finally tell them what they are, we kind of tell them about our job, the department, and different things. And they're like, hey, as a younger generation, this is huge. This is different. This isn't your typical cop or your typical...
Exactly.
Just for crime. You guys are here to help us out. You guys are here for our love for the dogs and department, so they want to like, hey, I want this job, or hey, where do I apply, or can I be a part of it in any way, shape, or form? So I think that's huge.
It is huge, and I don't think people you used to think of policemen as the heroes. They're always the heroes. Mm-hmm. And lately, the last several years, it didn't seem like they were the heroes. I mean, people, their attitudes changed. But when you come in with these dogs and you're trying to help people, regardless if it's a crisis like you're talking about, or just, hey, I'm having a bad day, here's a puppy to play with, and, you know, it makes a difference. And I think everybody's attitude, every agency should have these dogs. So how are the dogs paid for?
We received a gift from Arizona Complete Health to start the program, and they started with Leo. And when we saw the success of the program, they decided to help us out with another gift so that we could purchase Luke and Leia, as well as Echo and Nova. So they've been very, very gracious to us. Not only did the gift cover the purchase of the dogs, but it covers the first year of training, as well as vet visits, food, and things that you need in that first year, equipment, and all those things. So they've been a wonderful partner to deal with in this program. And they haven't just done the, here's some money, see you guys later. Right. They've been very involved with community outreach and getting the name out and getting the program out there on the forefront so that other people can see what is being done to help those in crisis or those who are having a bad day.
Like if we were on the East Coast right now, the dogs probably wouldn't be here because they'd be working at the yesterday's tragic event.
Absolutely. So sad.
I know. It's like repeatedly. Are they certified or registered in any capacity? Have they done their homework?
Yes, therapy dogs are registered. They're not certified, and they're registered through the top therapy dog group in the country. It's Pet Partners, and they've been registered. I think Luke's been registered for 5 or 6 months, and Leia's about the same.
Okay. Do they wear a service dog vest when they go out, or if you're traveling with them, do they wear one of those service dog vests?
They do have a vest, and the vest has patches on it that show the sheriff's department. They have a badge on them. They have the Pet Partners and Arizona Complete Health
do
patches
on there. Do they have a Dick Tracy watch?
Not quite.
Not yet.
We should get one, though.
I think that'd be awesome. Just a Dick Tracy watch.
But there isn't anything that says service dog on them.
Okay.
We do.
Crisis.
Yeah, we do have. It says crisis response on the vests. But there's nothing that says service dog. We want to make sure that people understand it's a dog
difference.
That they can come up and pet. We want everybody to know that it's okay to do those things because, like he said, you know, once you see the badge, they're like, oh, that's probably a bite dog or it's a drug dog. I don't want it anywhere near me.
Yeah.
So we have these banners that we'll put up at events that we go to that say free hugs on them with the pictures of the dogs.
Free hugs.
And technically, that's what they do.
Yeah.
We want people to come up and hug on them. And we still get questions. Hey, do you mind if I pet your dog? Absolutely. We want them to. And a lot of times, and I make fun of Dickinson for this, because people will come up and say, hey, do you mind if I pet your dog? Sure, he likes to be pet underneath the collar, da 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 da. And I'm like, just say yes. It's okay.
Just say yes. Well, sometimes you'll see the dogs with their vests on, and they'll say, it's a service dog, do not touch.
Right.
And so walk me through the difference between the different types of dogs that are out there, because is it okay to touch your dog?
A service dog.
And that's good.
Yeah.
A service dog is going to perform a specific task for somebody. So it might be a seeing dog for somebody that can't see. It might be a dog that notices that a seizure is going to happen. The therapy dogs aren't service dogs. They're strictly there for people to pet. So they'll wear a therapy vest if we do wear something aside from what we would normally wear as our department uniform for the dogs, but there is a difference between the therapy dog and the service dog.
So your dogs don't detect illnesses or anything like that, like some dogs are trained to do that?
No, Luke will respond. He'll go to people that are crying, which is kind of something that is interesting about Luke. He is very empathetic, and if somebody's crying, he wants to stop it, so he'll go over there and snuggle up to him. But aside from that, they're not designed to detect anything. They're just there for comfort, and they're there for people to pet.
Okay. This company that gave you this gift.
Yes, Arizona Complete Health.
Okay. I haven't heard of them before. What do they do?
They started out as a regional the REBA, Regional Behavioral Health Administrator. So they would...
mental health?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they would handle all of the mental health agencies throughout the country, or throughout the state of Arizona, I'm sorry, who handle mental health treatment for the community. Recently, they've transitioned over to just regular health care. So it's a little different, but the type of program is still the same, and the encouragement that we get for them to do this program and to develop it a little better and get some scientific fact that to go behind it has been immense from them. So even though they've gone to general health, they still, the baby of the program is the mental health aspect of it.
So is this a facility where people check themselves in, or is it an outpatient type facility?
It's actually not a facility. They're kind of like an insurance company, so to speak.
Okay. Okay.
So they decide where money goes, basically. How much money goes to Kodak, La Frontera, and all of those people who were handling the mental health aspect. But now that they've transitioned to general health, I'm not sure how that works.
I was just wondering, because I know we've got an issue with mental health in this country, and I know a lot of situations where people get arrested where they have a mental health issue and they really should be in a mental health facility, not a jail. I was just wondering if they had therapy dogs.
Well, that's where Leo comes in. These people who are in crisis in the community, Leo can respond. And a lot of times those people can be taken and diverted to...
a different place. Name that place.
CRC. the crisis response.
So they can be diverted there if they need to be. But there are times where, unfortunately, the nature of their charges require them to be incarcerated, and they'll be brought over to the Pima County Jail. And once they are in our custody, we do have mental health professionals and a wonderful medical staff that'll help them get current on their medication and evaluate them and talk to them and find out what's going on with them so that they can help out. And then you kind of have the backup, Luke and Leia.
Okay, my work's done.
That's actually one of the reasons that this was funded, was because the amount of people that are entering the jail systems and the prison systems that have mental health issues is so high right now. And we kind of have become a backup for the mental health system. And it's unfortunate that that's happened, but we have to figure out how to deal with that. And this is one of the ways we're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few.
You don't need to own a gun to make sure your children are trained and know what to do if they come across one. For the past 20 years, the folks at Diamondback have taught firearm safety and concealed weapon permit classes. Hi, I'm Ben Anderson, Director of Training at Diamondback Shooting Sports. Sign up for a class today at dbacktraining.com so you can be prepared for the unexpected. We're open 7 days a week, so stop in and introduce yourself. We're located in the Gaslight Plaza at the southwest corner of Broadway and Kolb on Tucson's east side.
Hi, it's me, Sherry. At Geneva Financial, we offer an array of loan products from commercial, construction, investor, all-in-one, a HEROES program for first responders as well as teachers, and of course, reverse mortgages. If you're shopping for a loan or know somebody who is, give me a call at 310-9900. We offer loans for humans by humans. So let's see what I can do for you. That's 310-9900. Thanks. I look forward to hearing from you.
Business, politics, education, and more. It's trusted local news and talk for the weekend on 1030 The Voice.
Established in 1865, the Pima County Sheriff's Department is one of the largest agencies in the nation that ensures the safety and trust with integrity and respect. With decades of change and development, we have grown by instituting progressive plans of preparedness to work as a vigilant team serving and protecting. With careful selection, every department member is prepared today to protect for tomorrow, serving with principle, professionalism, and purpose. To learn more about wearing the badge for your community, visit pimasheriff.org and follow our social media for up-to-date events and information. Join us in our commitment to this community and vow to never become complacent.
Okay, we're back, and I want to talk about Leo's capabilities. I mean, they're both trained the same. They both basically have the same thing, but Leo apparently will go out and tell the audience what you were telling me in break.
Leo's assigned to the mental health unit for the deputies, and he'll respond to what the mental health unit for the deputies does is they'll respond to crisis calls in the community. So they'll go out to a mental health call specifically. So they're usually not going to respond to just a general crime. They're going to go out to a location that they know somebody is in mental distress, and they would be able to take Leo with them to break down that barrier. And one of the neat things about this program that we've noticed is that the dogs seem to have a really amazing effect on people that have some mental health issues. A lot of people that are being affected by mental health issues won't respond to people very well. But as soon as you put a dog in the situation and the dog is friendly and the dog is there for them, they respond very well to that. So Leo may go out to a call for a mental health call, and he would be the intervention for that person that they could get to talk to that person and get to be able to reason with that person and take them to where they needed to go to get treatment, which is usually the crisis response center. So that's been helpful so far. I know, because those calls can be very dangerous and very high stress. So anything that we can do to get those calls to be a little less stressful is great for us.
I can imagine. And you said something about if they're serving a warrant on somebody that they know might have mental health issues, that the dog goes with to serve that warrant, just to make it a little easier on everybody involved.
Right.
Yeah, and we have opportunities where, like, people don't want to talk to you because you have that badge.
Right.
So with Leo, that gives you another opportunity where they may not want to talk to you, but they'll sit there and pet the dog, and they'll talk to the dog instead of talking to you, which is a way of getting them to open up and get a little bit more confidence in the dog. And then you're sitting there and they'll start talking to you slowly. So it does make them open up a little more when they have kind of like the comfort blanket, in this case, comfort dog.
Comfort dog. Okay, so that's the big difference. I'm looking at this as Crisis Canine Response Team is the CCRT. In the Corrections Pet Assistance Stress Therapy Program. And they're basically the same training, just different arenas.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just different assignments.
So how long does it take to train the dog? I mean, you said that it's every day and it's ongoing. How long does it take before the dog, you would consider them fully trained?
These guys got fully trained at about a year and a half, maybe a little sooner than that. But typically you won't see a therapy dog that finishes training and certifies before 2 years, but we've been working so much with these dogs that they're doing very well. And generally the age of the dog kind of keeps them from being mature enough to get certified before 2 years, but these guys have been just constantly inundated with training and with different environments, and it turned out that we got them certified or registered a little early.
Yeah, I had a dog a long time ago, and training that dog was like hours and hours and hours and hours, and it was like a full-time job.
It is.
So, for these two, it is.
And yeah, I had a Doberman Pinscher, and the vet told me if you don't become the alpha dog, he will run all over you when he matures, and he was right. I mean, the dog challenged me, and I'm like, you know, this isn't happening, honey. Eyeball to eyeball. But yeah, I think it's awesome that you're doing this program, and hats off to you for taking the initiative and applying when everybody else thought it was a joke. And how long do you want to be in corrections with your dog?
Hopefully until she retires. So I believe it's 9 years, 8 years now with her. So hopefully we can both retire together.
That's a good question. When you retire, when the dog retires, where are they going to go? With their handler?
They have an opportunity to stay with their handler, absolutely. We would love that more than anything because these guys have become so attached to them.
Right.
It's funny. I babysat for Leia a couple weeks ago, and I had her for a week while Dominic was in Washington, D.C. for Police Week. And we got so attached to her, and it's weird when she's not there.
So when he called to get his dog, did you not answer the phone?
Of course not. I only had phone calls.
No, I'm sorry.
He would call me or text me, hey, how's baby girl doing? Or hey, how's she doing? Hey, don't forget to put ice in her water. Just different things that he's so used to doing. And he's
wanted
that,
to make sure.
Yeah, he's that dad calling to make sure his baby's being taken care of, even though he knows I would.
Okay. Do they get a pension when they retire?
I don't think so. They don't get a paycheck, so.
They don't get a paycheck. But that's one of the things when I have the canine guys on here, you know, the dogs retire, but they don't get a pension. They don't get, you know, medical care. They don't get it. It's all on the handler.
Absolutely. But these guys have spoiled these dogs rotten. They buy them treats. They buy them toys.
I noticed the treats. I was trying to figure out what was in that bag, and it dawned on me. Those are dog treats.
Oh, yeah. Don't mistake those for regular ones.
Yeah, I was like, what is this guy eating?
So these guys are not only spoiled by these two handlers, but by everybody in the community. We'll get people who are like, hey, we want to help out. What can we give you? We want to give you harnesses, dog leashes, pet baths. Anything that they can give us, they want to, and they just feel like they want to be part of this program. This is much bigger than just the Pima County Sheriff's Department. This is revolutionary for the entire country.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's jumping on board, and every time we see that, it makes us so happy because we're part of something so great.
You know who I think started it was Barbara LaWall. She went out and got a puppy, so we're getting a puppy, and then she went out and got another puppy. And now we've got puppies everywhere, and it's awesome. It's really doing a great job. People
it really
respond
is.
To it.
We modeled our program from Scottsdale PD, who was one of the first ones to do it in a law enforcement setting. So they actually, for us, are the starting people of this program. And their program works so well that we obviously had to copy them. And are trying to do everything we can on our end to make it bigger, make it better, and have a bigger impact in the community. And the jail is part of that community.
Now, do they have the same kind of dog? Do they get their dog from the same place?
No.
What kind of dog do they have? Do you know?
I think it's a chocolate lab maybe, but theirs is specifically like Leo. It's the mental health team dog for the police side, the deputy side. No, we're the first program to do the correction side.
Okay.
Funny story.
I want to hear your story.
Before, like I said, I've been there 12 years, going into a jail, going into the drawers in the officer station, before you see handcuffs and objects like that. Now you go, you see treats, and you see balls with ropes, and you see stuff for the dog, and I'm like, what has the jail become? But that just shows you how close we became in our department. So it's just a funny fact I wanted to share with you.
We needed it, too.
100%.
We just needed a little something to bring us together a little bit, and it's nice to be able to walk in to such a sterile environment, such as a jail, and walk through the halls and see a dog instead of walk through and see cement and, like he said, shackles and handcuffs and stripes and orange jail outfits. So it's nice when you go to work now, you can see that instead of all those other bad things that you would normally associate with jail. So there's a little light at the end of the tunnel to begin your day, actually.
When you go into the jail, do you go into like is there a community room, like a lunch room where you can go in there? Or is it each pod?
They go into each pod.
Okay.
So we go into their environment, basically. And okay. The jail is a very negative environment. So something like this can kind of change the entire dynamic of it.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you're all doing a great job. I want to thank you for coming on. And I want to tell everybody, next week on our program, we're going to have InfraGuard. If you haven't heard about InfraGuard, I'm a member. I've been a member for a long time. You're going to hear everything there is to know about InfraGuard next week. And until then, shop local, stay safe, and get a puppy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copyright 2019 Geneva Financial, LLC, NMLS number 42056. All loans subject to qualifying factors. Not all applicants will qualify. Equal housing lender. AZBK number 0910215. Full terms and privacy notice at genevafi.com.